Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Hello and welcome, everyone, to Happy Hour again here with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci and this fella, and we're back with another show, and we're also back with another repeat guest, another guest who has who wears the special jacket of being here on numerous occasions, and so we've got Deborah Hanlon. She's going to be joining us in a little bit here today.
She sure is. She is actually a friend of ours, a friend of the show. She's local. She is an intuitive medium. We've had her on before to talk to us about communicating with those on the other side. We've had her on to talk about meditation, about trusting our intuition. She's the real deal. She really knows what she's talking about, and she's fun and she's cool, and we love her. And what she's coming on to talk to us about today is that there is a philosophy that says our emotions can become blocked, stored energy in our bodies physically. So trauma or difficult experiences that we go through can actually become sources of blocked energy. And she's going to talk to us about how that can happen and what we can do about it to unblock that stagnant energy.
I cannot wait to talk to her about this, because she's doing what she's calling a somatic healing experience. And I had to look that up, because I'm like, huh, what does that mean exactly? But you know what? This can really be life-changing, because when you have stuck or stagnant energy, it's not just an emotional thing. I firmly believe that that kind of thing can actually make you physically sick. And
absolutely.
She'll talk about that too. So this is great. And I don't know if this is a new area for her, but so many people are going to benefit from this. I can't wait to talk to her about it.
I think it is. And particularly anybody listening who may have a chronic health issue or pain or ache or something that they really can't, you're just kind of living with it because you can't identify what's really causing it, could potentially be a result of blocked energy from something difficult you experienced. And pretty cool.
Yes, very cool. Looking forward to that. So,
whoa, what's going on in your world?
New?
I was going to ask you about that, because you have a very curious alias today in our Zoom session here, as you refer to yourself as Tiny Tim. But I did see a couple of Facebook posts where there has been some added drama in the Jonna homestead, the crazy cat lady homestead of your eight cats, and one of them getting injured.
You know, just when, all right, a couple of things. I made a promise to myself, and really to our listeners, and they don't know I made this promise to them a little while back, that I was not going to inundate them all the time with my cat stories. You know, I know that people love cats, and when I post a picture of a cat, like, oh, how cute, I love the cat. But, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, another cat story.
Well, I don't know, Jonna. I know that there are people who tell you that they tune in just to see an update on your cat story. So
that's a good point.
And maybe that's why the universe keeps giving me freaking cat stories. So, all right, I got to share this, because my life was motoring along pretty well. But I think I mentioned that, you know, the ever elusive mother cat Punky, who is too smart for my own good, had produced another litter of cats about 4 months ago. So I've known this litter of cats for about 2 months, because in her cat world, when she gives birth to a litter, I know when that happens, because she disappears, she comes back skinny, and then she brings these cats to my house the day they turn 8 weeks old. And that's been her. So strange. So anyway, so long story longer, I've known that these cats were around. They haven't come by every day, but my big picture plan is, as it always is, to catch them and to get them fixed and to find them homes. And usually the home I find is my home, and they live under my bed. back up. And oh, God. All right. So you know, I've been waiting for the right moment to do that, and because that takes time. Like if you've got court, if I've got work, if I have to be, I can't just catch them and go, okay, you guys sit right there and I'll be back. Like it doesn't work that way.
Right.
So last night I got home from the office, and remember, we're recording this during the week. So I got home from the office and I noticed one of the new little dirt cats is limping. And I was like, okay, you know, little dirt cats, they stuff happens. I get it. But what really struck me was when all the little dirts got done with dinner, the one little dirt who I had named Plain Jane, and sidebar, sometimes I name these little dirt cats, I have no idea what sex they are. And I think 100% of the time I've gotten their sexes wrong when I've named them. But
You have been pretty good at getting them wrong. Yes.
Yes, I've been very good at getting them wrong. So this one is the one I've been calling Plain Jane. And I will admit, at the risk of being judged, that this cat of the six is not the cutest, right? So, but that's okay because they're all animals and I love animals. And when all the five siblings and who I thought was her, Plain Jane's mother, left, Plain Jane stayed behind. And she went up and sat on one of the deck chairs that's covered by the deck table. So she was kind of hiding there. At least I thought it was a she. So when I walked over, normally when you've got these little feral dirt cats, you go anywhere near them, they leave, but not Plain Jane. Plain Jane stayed put. Plain Jane stayed put. And for a little while, she was being protected by one of her litter mates who wouldn't leave her side. And I'm like, this is unusual feral cat behavior. And how do I know? Because I have now, you know, rescued, put in air quotes, 100 of them. So I realized that something's wrong. And Plain Jane is just too injured to really to run away and go join the group. So now I'm like, oh, no, no. No, no, no. I will not get any sleep if I leave this injured animal out here because I know that I've got raccoons. I know there are other things. I just couldn't do it. So I managed to get Plain Jane in a carrier. No trap necessary. I get her in a carrier. And I call the vet and they're like, okay, you can bring her in. Not a problem. We are in emergency hours. So the base price for your visit is going to be $236.
Oh, my God.
But here's the math I did in my head. I'm like, I don't want this little animal in pain all night. Obviously, if it didn't run away, something's really wrong. Worth it to me. Worth it to me. Now they don't give me an appointment till 9 o'clock at night. It's like 7 when this happens. So I coffee up. I get all ready. I go. And all of a sudden, Plain Jane, who was not really mobile when they tried to take her out of the carrier, starts running around the room like crazy. They have to put her in a towel. They actually had to sedate her in order to give her any treatment. And I'm like, this can't be
poor kid.
Can't be good for this leg, right? Okay. So now I'm sitting there like the nervous mother. It's after 9 o'clock at night. It's past my bedtime. This poor little cat's in the back. I'm sitting there like a dum-dum. And all of a sudden, one of the techs comes in and she goes, congratulations, you have a girl. And I go, oh my gosh, I finally got the name right. Plain Jane, girl cat. This is fantastic. Great. But she's still in the back getting treated. The vet, you know, 5 or 10 minutes later comes in and the vet says to me, so Plain Jane's a boy.
Ah, so much for the experts.
And I said, wait a minute. Are you sure? Because someone else came in a little while ago and said Plain Jane's a girl. Nope, I'm sure Plain Jane is a boy. Okay, well.
Well, at least you already have a name. PJ.
Yeah, I changed that.
Okay.
So now I know that Plain Jane is a boy and they're not quite sure what is wrong with Plain Jane's leg, but it's swollen from like shoulder to paw, but they don't think it's fractured. So they did the things, you know, they gave Plain Jane's actually a boy, gave him a shot, gave him his rabies shots, gave him his distemper, gave him an antibiotic, gave him an anti-inflammatory, sedated him to do all this. And I get him back in the carrier and I go to take him home and I go to cash out and they're like, that'll be, drum roll, please. Okay. Hold on to your chair. Are you holding on to your chairs?
I'm actually holding on to a hat. Same thing. Go
$600.
Ahead.
$600.
Keep going.
I was just going to say $750.
little lower, $731.
Damn, and I was just over. I just got kicked off the show.
You got kicked off the Price is Right.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, whoa.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
That is a lot. So now I'm like, I have this little cat home because, and I checked this morning, the leg is still swollen because the vet said, you know, look, it might, if it's an abscess, it'll go down on its own and you'll be good. If it's not, you might have to consider coming back for an x-ray. And I'm saying to myself, x-ray is going to require a second job at this point. So I can't let this little thing out. Now, here's how stupid your friend is. I get this little guy home, and if since I have done this before, I have a little playpen. I set up the playpen with the litter and the food and the carrier so they can be comfortable and hide. And that's all good. And he slept through the night until 3 o'clock in the morning. That's what they do. They start crying for their family. Well, their family showed up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I made the mistake of letting the family come in the house to investigate the source of this crying, which made everybody cry even more.
Wait a minute. Define the family. The outside family you let in?
Punky. And there was four of the other five siblings were there this morning. This one was not there.
You opened the door to let the feral ones come in and investigate Plain Jane.
And there was a mission to my madness, a method to my madness.
That's like the family showing up at the hospital, but keep going.
I took the food that I normally feed them outside and I put it in this other giant crate that I have. And at one point I had the four kittens eating in this crate in my house. And I slowly walked over and I stretched out my arm to shut the door and they all blink.
They all said we're smarter than her.
Would have been 9, 10, 11, 12.
Yes.
Thank you for that, Cookie Monster.
And another couple grand.
And another couple grand. But so now my plan is I'm going to hang on to this little guy until his leg goes down because he can't even get fixed. He's old enough to get fixed, but he can't get fixed, obviously, while he's, you know, he had a temperature. He's got this thing going on. Saturday morning, it is my mission to catch the rest of the cats. I don't care what it costs me, Punky included, and they are going. They are going to get fixed. They are going to get shot. I will get a second or third job to do it. I cannot. I am on the verge of a nervous feline breakdown. A nervous
Punky's
feline.
Your issue.
Punky's.
Yeah, really. Punky's the one you need to catch right now.
And but these other little ones too, because guys, do the math. Do the math.
I've already been doing the math.
Yeah, no, Carol's good at that.
Carol's real good at math. I went to law school because I suck at math. But these little guys are going to start mating with each other. And now get this. Did I tell, and stop me if I told you this. I got a note in my mailbox.
Yes, your neighbor.
Yes, your neighbor who has a similar issue, but with a completely different set of cats. We were talking about them being like cat gangs and having their own territory.
Right. And now my biggest fear is these two cat gangs, the Sharks and the Jets, are going to get together and
they're going to start clicking their thumbs. They're going to have a little dance off, and before you know it, there's going to be kittens everywhere.
Right. Right. So it's just crazy. Now,
Jonna, you need to set up a Venmo account and start putting that like on your. You know how people say, just married, send us money. They'll have like a Venmo.
Yes.
You need to have a unique Venmo for like the crazy cat lady house and have it on the back of your beater car and your nice car.
We'll call it Meowmo. Please listen to my Meowmo.
or it can be a GoFundMe that you can call the Go Meow Me.
Exactly. And I do want to shout out because there are a couple of cat ladies crazier than me on Facebook who, when they found out I was going to the vet at 9 o'clock last night, they both messaged me, gave me their phone numbers, and said, if you need help, and then they're separate people. If you need help, we're here. And I actually really, and I communicated with one for the whole time I was there. So I do really appreciate the emotional support if nothing else, because this really is, guys. I mean, this started out as I just love animals. You guys love animals. We know how that goes. I had no idea how fast this would turn into what it's turned into.
the comedy routine that it's become.
Oh, man. But like I said, my heart, you guys, when that cat was meowing this morning, when I made the dumb mistake of letting that family in and they're all going over to his playpen going meow, 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 and he's meow, meow, meow. And I know I can't let him back out with this leg. And I'm saying to myself, self, boy. So that was my night. And I am tired because the little guy did get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, as they do. That's what they do. And I've renamed him. So I was going to call him PJ. So we went from Plain Jane to PJ. I did rename him Tiny. And the reason I renamed him Tiny was because two people came out and said, you should name him Tiny Tim because he's got a bum leg. And I'm like, well,
understood.
Yeah. But I think I'm just going to shorten that to Tiny because that's kind of like gangster, right? You know, you could Tiny.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's your gangster cat name?
Yeah, that's it. And some of the other cats that came in to say hi to him, there's one named Fingers. There's one named Lefty.
Rocco.
Yes, exactly. You know, there's one that's named Two Jacket Bill.
One named Shorty, but it's spelled shoddy. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. Or he's the tallest one of the bunch. Yeah.
So that's why, because he's going to, you know, if he survives this leg issue, he's definitely going to be gangster to me. So
I don't like though that they don't know what it was, but yeah. He was running a fever. So
he was running a little bit of a fever. And that was the other thing I remembered from one of my other cat trips, like the fever was 104, but don't panic because cat's normal temperature is like 103.
Right.
So it's something high like that, their normal temperature. I got to look that up. So, and they did notice a little bit of they said there was a scab on his little leg that they shaved around. So he could have had an injury, which definitely could mean abscess. And trust me, guys, he was bouncing around when they tried to get him out of the carrier. And he's not crying like in pain, but it's swollen and he's favoring it. And I don't want him back out in the wild under any circumstances like that. I'm just going to hang tight and do what I got to do and keep mine of the whole world about how many cats are in my house. And
do you have any leads on, would you give up any of the ones that you have right now?
Oh, yeah. If I could get them. I mean, keep in mind, I still have one, Quinn, the murderous dirt cat. She's the only one that's in my house that isn't fixed because I can't go near her without getting murdered. I can't pet her. She won't go in a crate. Like, it's going to be very tricky. And that's why I was so disappointed when the tech came in and said, it's a girl. I was like, yes, because worst case scenario, I could put her in the room when she's kind of fixed up with the other cats. Now that she's a boy and I've got an unfixed girl, I am screwed.
Yes, that is a good point.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm being punished, or perhaps I just have some really pent up, screwed up energy in my body that needs to be pushed out.
Oh, no, I think that cat might have some pent up energy in its leg.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, okay, you're both getting there.
I think mine was better.
I think it was too.
Yeah, I have to go with John on this one.
All right. No, I'm with you there.
Wait, I got a pun. Right. If it was the cat with the pent up energy, we would call it a so meowdic healing experience. Boom, shuck-a-lock. So meowdic.
That's right. Here all week, tip your weight staff. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, coming up after the break, we are going to have with us a friend of ours, a friend of the show, Deborah Hanlon. She's an intuitive medium, is one of the things she does. And she's coming on to talk to us about somatic healing. That if you have pain or illness that maybe nobody can really tell you where it's coming from, that it could potentially be blocked energy from past trauma. And I cannot wait to talk to her about that.
All right. So that is what is on the way. I'm a professional. And we've got Deb Hanlon again in segment number two with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. This is Happy Hour, and we'll be right back.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back again to Happy Hour here. Jonas Spilvor and Carol Pesci and this fella here. And also, it's segment number two. And you guys know what segment number two is. Yes, it's the time where we get to talk to one of our illustrious guests. And sometimes those guests are return guests. And today is one of those.
Yeah, we've abused her before and she just keeps coming back.
Yep.
So we have with us today a good friend of ours and the show, Deborah Hanlon. She's brilliant. She's an intuitive medium among a number of things. And she's here to answer the question, could your issues be in your tissues? And what that means is she is now taking on another avenue for what she does to help people live better. And that is somatic healing, that if you have pain or illness or something going on, then maybe they doctors can't quite tell you what it is, and it's kind of chronic, been hanging out for a while. Could it be blocked, stuck energy from something difficult you've gone through in the past? And I cannot wait to learn more about this. Deborah Hanlon, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's just always great when I get the call from you guys. Like, come on, how would I ever say no?
Well, you made it happen because you're an intuitive medium and you put us in your thoughts and you sent the over the airwaves. And then Carol's like, let me call her. And I'm like, this is perfect. So thank you for doing that. You're like magic.
It was perfect. On the other day, I had what I call one of my big long thoughts about all of you. And boom, the next day, Carol showed up. So yes, yep. That's how it works when we work it.
Very cool. So let's start with the basics, Deb. Tell us what somatic healing is, number one. And number two, how this became an added avenue to what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's so fascinating. And really, basically, every experience we have leaves an energetic imprint in our bodies. So even though we're creatures that we think and we explore the world, what we think through our mind, our body is actually interpreting everything we're doing. And it stores stuff. And the stuff that we're storing are our emotions. So moving back a little bit, emotions are just words that humans placed for energy. We have the energy of anger. We have the energy of sadness, the energy of joy, the energy of gratitude. These are all different frequencies that move through our body. As humans, we labeled them emotions, gave them names, anger, joy, disappointment, blah, blah, blah. And so we really get stuck in attaching the story of why we are feeling sad or why we're feeling gratitude, or we create a story about it. What we don't do is we don't process the energy itself. And these energies get sort of stuck in our body, our tissues, quite literally. And over time, they build up and can create stagnation in a myriad of ways. And this is like new science that's coming out all over. This is becoming the rage to really address, like, what are the issues that you're holding in your body. Most of it, if not all, I'd say 99% of it is unconscious, meaning we don't even know what it is that our body's holding on to energetically. So somatic healing is a way to access the energy of our body, to bring it to our conscious mind, and then we get to decide, hey, that one I like. The energy of gratitude and joy and love, these are energies we hang on to. The energies of less favorable, heavier, denser, like disappointment, frustration, betrayal, sadness, grief, all of those, we need to move those through. And what happens is that because everything is on an energetic wavelength, the energies in our body changes our cellular structure. When our cellular structure is changed, it invites our body to actually break down and invite in a ton of different illnesses, ranging from physical, digestion issues all the way to emotional chronic depression. So it's really important if we understand this and we realize, oh my gosh, wait a minute, I just have unprocessed energy in our bodies. And then that's a lot, but how I arrived here is that I live in the world of energy. I perceive energy, I feel energy, I speak energy. everyone who comes to me, I don't see so much as the person, but the energy that they represent. And so this has been something I've been doing in readings for years and years. Now I just have a different modality to help people be able to process and move these energies themselves and identify, which is most important, identify what these energies are. And it's remarkable to see how you didn't realize that that shoulder pain that is chronic, and yet the structure of the shoulder's fine, I don't need surgery, but it could be attached to, say, when you were 14, you were laid down with too many burdens for a 14-year-old. It's fascinating.
It is completely fascinating. And I remember a number of years ago when Jana lived at the Piano Factory and we were getting together more frequently with our stiletto group of girls, that you did a process on one of the girls. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yep. And it was, she didn't even really know it. You walked her through it, identified it. And it was like, I think a pain in her back or something. Mm-hmm. And you opened that right up for her.
Yeah. So that's the intuitive part. And, you know, I've been doing what I do for 25 years now. And I really don't want to be the person people go to say, hey, you help me. I'd rather be the person that you come to say, Deb, how do I help myself? So my work is shifting. It is always shifting. And I will always be helping and, you know, let me help you identify what's going on. But you don't need me. You don't need somebody. There's a way to access what's going on within our own physical bodies. And it's so simple. It's just absolutely truly intuitive and organic. And so, yeah, I speak in frequency. And these frequencies, they speak to us. And we're picking them up on people all the time. So, you know, when you're around somebody that's just grumpy or miserable or negative thinking, they don't have to say a word. We can feel mm-hmm. it. So yep. that's yep. us picking up on someone else's energy. Same thing as we can put out to the world that we're feeling great and wonderful and we can go, oh, look how cheery I am. But people around you could also feel like, I don't know, there's something heavier there, or vice versa. You know, so
right.
we speak this, we're aware of this, we just don't talk about it enough, and we don't train ourselves to be attuned to it within ourselves and certainly not within each other.
Deb, can I ask you something? This is fascinating, yet it already makes complete sense to me. I think what you're describing could be the basis for a lot of people's chronic illness, and not just aches and pains. I think what you're describing could cause things that are far beyond that, like serious Absolutely. Illness. So I want to ask you, just, you know, for the slow, if we're talking about moving the certain energies out of the energies that we're holding onto, they're not good for us, moving the energy out of the body. So obviously that's going to entail moving the body. In fact, in you have an upcoming experience that you're telling people to bring a yoga mat, bring a blanket, bring a pillow if you want it, comfortable clothing, and an open heart. So you're going to be physically, to me, that said, you're going to be physically moving your body. How do you, is there a connection that you need to make first with the mind before you try to move the energy out of the body? Or am I sounding too weird and woo-woo?
Well, that's not weird at all. I mean, we could get really weird and it still wouldn't be weird to me. But so not weird at all. It's a great question. So because this works, this is super specific to each person that shows up. So I can lead you through an exercise and there's 10 people in the room. 10 people will have that exercise very differently and have 10 very different experiences. So it's not like a yoga class where everyone go in downward dog, now move to a plank. It's not that. It's something way more intuitive to tap into yourself. So yes, we're moving our body, but you're not moving your body in any way that you can't. And in fact, the ways that you can move your body, I mean, I have people in wheelchairs that can do this. So it does not matter. It doesn't even matter if you're a completely quadriplegic, paraplegic. You can do this because it is all in the mind as well. So does that answer your question?
Yeah. So it's more, so it is going to be more of an emotional type of quote unquote movement that will move the energy out of your physical body, which to me is like magic. Now, can you do this if you can't meditate? If you're like, I'm a crappy meditator, I can't do it. And can this benefit you?
Totally, because this isn't, it is meditative, but it is not a meditation. So, you know, I will, we go through a series of prompts, and then I ask you to move your body in response to that prompt. So if I say the energy, and we can all do this, this is a perfect example and perfect moment. If I say the energy of joy or the experience of joy, if you were to posture your body to show that your body is joyful, make a posture and then go ahead and do that. And you could do that literally by moving your body, or you could just even do it in your mind. I'll ask the three of you to do it in your body right now and create a posture of joy and then hold it for just a second. Now, I already know that every single one of you have looked up. Every single one of you have opened your chest in some way. Maybe you put your arms out or up.
You freak.
I know that. And that's not psychic. That's not intuitive. That is because that is how the energy of joy moves through a human body.
Oh my God.
Wow. No, but and so right there, we can access joy in our body by just making that posture. We can feel like total crap. But when we posture, our body then talks to the brain and says, hey, you're wide open. You're expanded. If we're expanded, that tells the mind in nanoseconds, that means we're not in fear mode. We're not in down mode, because the body does not expand if there's something wrong. So right off the bat, we didn't even do anything. So we experience joy. And we can
start
bringing the energy of joy and upgrading all the joy in our body. Similarly, if I said to you, posture your body in a posture of fear or sadness, pick either one, go ahead and do that. I absolutely know everyone closed their body in a bit. Your head went down. Maybe you put your head over your hands over your head. You did some sort of covering or protection. Maybe you put your arms up to ward off something. You might have turned to the side. You look down. Why?
Oh my God.
Because energy of fear and sadness, those are constricting energies. They make us smaller. So that's a simple technique that all of a sudden you're like, wow, okay. That's the energy of sadness in my body. I'm constricted. How do I move that energy? What's the opposite? What would the opposite posture of sadness or grief be, or fear? Again, what do? You're expanding. You're opening in some way. Maybe you open really, really wide. Maybe you open a little bit. Doesn't matter. It's the fact that you're moving these energies. So the whole practice is identifying through your body without thought. I didn't tell any of you to think this over. We just do it with the body. The body is brilliant. Think of how brilliant the body is. None of us, in all the time I'm speaking, have had to remind our heart to beat, and we have not had to remind ourselves to breathe. We had not told ourselves to digest. We've stayed completely out of these processes in the body, and the body's doing well. So we want to like lean into the body's intelligence a lot more.
Wow. That is amazing. And yes, I did exactly what you said.
Absolutely. It can't not. Nobody says, let me do a posture of joy, and they crawl up into a ball. You know, like you're just not going to do that. Well, actually, that's not true. Maybe if you have no access to what joy is, you might go into a ball. And even that will deal with that. But then we then move this. So we identify energies, and then we start identifying, you know, I might say, think of your ex. What posture does your body do? Many times it will go into some sort of constrictive or protective mode. Hopefully we stay neutral. Hopefully even better, we open up to joy and expansion. But for a lot of people, an ex-spouse, an ex, you know, significant other, that might give us a constricting feeling. So that energy pertaining to an ex-spouse or ex-significant other showing up in your body as, there's still something lingering there. There's still constriction. I don't want that constriction in my body. What do? We do the opposite posture. We talk, you can say, what do you do? And what posture would you take when I say the word mom? For those who have wonderful, loving relationships or did, you'll probably have a gesture of nurture, of love, of hugging, maybe expansion, maybe reaching out to them. If you didn't have a good relationship with your mom, you might have a constricting, protective motion. And again, this is all information for the mind, and we're processing it through the body. So it's just information, and then we go, oh my gosh, okay, there's some lingering, either great or unfavorable energy in the body, and then we handle it accordingly.
What if, Deb, there's something below the surface that maybe it was traumatic enough where you blocked it out and you don't even remember? How do you, but maybe in theory you say, this could make sense, this could be what's going on with me, and I need to release that. How do you identify that block to then release it?
So that's such a great question. We can just call it the block, right?
Because I asked a good question.
Are we getting more personal? So if we have a block, right? We feel, or we're thinking about a block, we don't have to know what happened. We don't need to know the story, because the body and the mind has recorded every moment of our life since the beginning of the brain's construction in utero. So we have recorded everything that's ever happened to us, which is pretty overwhelming. Pretty cool, but pretty overwhelming. So if we can say, I don't know, I feel blocked about something, I don't know what it is. We don't care what it is. We just identify, all right, how does that block feel in your body? When you think about that block, what posture does your body take? And then hold that posture. That posture is going to help start to move the mind into, let me get a sense of this. What is this? And then if you want to move the block, do the opposite posture, or do a posture that's more favorable. And I don't use words like positive and negative anymore, because negative is not bad. You know, we have favorable emotions and we have unfavorable. We have things that we love to feel, like love and gratitude and trust, and we have things we don't love to feel, like sadness, grief, depression, disappointment. But they're not negative. Those emotions are not bad. So I want to get people also away from the concepts of good and bad energy versus favorable, unfavorable, productive, unproductive energies.
And so, then this might be a, not might be, it could be completely transformative for somebody who has experienced trauma, who maybe they do remember, but it's so painful they don't even want to go there. Like maybe they're even avoiding a good therapist because they just don't want to talk about it. They don't want to go there again. They don't want to bring it up.
Totally.
This could help people like that tremendously.
Completely. Because the more I deal with energy, the more I realize it does not matter the origins of the energy. It only matters in the present state of the energy. So a lot of times we do a lot of excavating, and I'm all for therapy. I think every human on this planet, especially in 2024, everybody needs therapy. Like that's a given. So I'm pro therapy. And I'm also like, you know, how many times are we going to tell the same story over and over? When we do that, we are only concretizing the stuck energy. We're giving it more energy, actually.
Right.
When we talk about, you know, that time that person made me pissed off. So, you know, there's something to be said for expression, and then there's something to be said for movement of that energy that's residing in your body, not attaching a story to it. So yes, you don't have to revisit the traumatic experience in a reliving and retelling of the trauma. And there's a reality there too, is that no matter what the origin of our trauma is, that origin is in the past, and we cannot change that event. So why would we keep talking about an event that we cannot change? But the energy that's residing us in the now, that's changeable. That's what's transformable. So I'm not about like, hey, yeah, don't talk about it. We can express it, and it's important to express. And then when you want movement from it and change and transformation from it, that's going to be best done through the body.
Deb, do you think there's a correlation and I think I know the answer to my question, but I want to ask it anyway, that many of us have never put two and two together of why they say walking is good for your mental health, it reduces stress, and even so much as for people who are runners, who exert themselves to the extent that they get a runner's high, that without realizing it, we're moving energy through ourselves by physically moving.
Totally. I mean, and what's so sad is that, you know, if you look back at indigenous cultures, look back 5,000, 10,000, further way back years, cultures incorporated movement in every aspect of life.
Right.
So like years ago, when someone died, what did they do? They danced. They sang. They emoted,
wow.
They screamed, they yelled, they had drums, they used frequency and energy to move the energy of grief. They knew what they were doing.
Wow.
Today, in 2024, what do we do when someone dies? We sit quietly in a pew. We try not to cry too much. We try not to let others see us crying. And we sit still. I mean, it's so insane for our energy fields when all we need to do is, again, we call them emotions, but they're really energy. They're frequencies. And if we maybe think of our emotions as frequencies, we'll definitely take a double take at them. If we're angry, angry is great. All the emotions are great. Sadness, joy, disappointment, jealousy, betrayal, all the energies are important and necessary, except when they're toxic, except when they're not. So this isn't about like, hey, let's not feel angry. This is not about that. This is all about let's use the energy and the frequencies that do exist in our body in a way that is productive for our overall mental, physical, emotional health.
Debbie, I know we have to wrap with you soon, but I have three things, two questions and a statement. And my statement is, when you were talking about trauma and Carol was mentioning, you know, what if you got trauma and you can't even identify the trauma? We actually had a guest on last week who, I just want to remind everybody that your trauma is your trauma. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean you were, burned at the stake. It could be something that was so small that it wouldn't be traumatizing to somebody else. Like, our guest was attacked by a poodle and it affected her for the rest of her life. But if it traumatized you, then it's your trauma. So however big, however
small. And it's legit and real. Yep.
Right. So that was my statement. My two questions are, is concretize a real word or did you make it up? I don't know because I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it from here on out. And if it's a real word, cool. And if it's not, then I just want to say that's a Deb Hanlon word. It's all I want to know.
That's a great question. If I did make it up, I don't think I did.
All right. So I'm just going to say the Deb Hanlon word. If anybody challenges me, like a judge or an opposing counsel, I'm going to blame you. All right. That's good. And then
Before you move on. So, but you still own Blorange.
I definitely own Blorange.
When somebody dyed your hair and it was like blonde orange.
Okay. Oh, that's a good one.
And that was very appropriate. Yes.
I have made a Blorange mistake. But anyway, we digress.
I make it frequently.
Second question.
Second question is, when we do this work, all right, so this is a really dumb question, but let's say somebody comes in and they work with you and they do this one time. Can we move these energies permanently if we only do this work one time? And the reason why I'm asking is I'm reminded when I was a kid and I used to write on the walls in permanent magic marker. And then my father would cover up the permanent magic marker with a coat of paint. But a couple months later, whatever I wrote would start to seep back through that paint. Do our bodies do that, or can we cure ourselves in like one shot with this?
Great question and good insight on the true reason why your dad is a painter.
Exactly.
It all started with you. It's fantastic. Yeah. So it will seep back in over time. If, you know, this is something that we want to, we're taking the unconscious and making it conscious. And the more conscious we can make things, the more and more they dissipate as far as having control of ourselves. So it is best. I mean, anytime we're doing any kind of work, one time is better than zero times, but it is something that can be done and really should be done to move it fully up into your conscious mind. So it goes out. So it's done. And you can do this. I mean, driving in your car, you don't always have to move. I mean, I do want to put the physical movement in especially in the beginning, because it just helps the whole system. But as you get the hang of this, you can be driving to work and visualizing your anger and your posture in one mode, and then visualize in your mind the opposite energy and the opposite frequency moving through your body to help you in that moment. So it doesn't have to have movement, and yet the movement is just kind of accelerates it.
Great. So freaking fascinating. I am so glad you took the time to talk with us today. We're wrapping up here with Deborah Hanlon. We are talking about the concept of somatic healing. Deb, you have an event coming up where if people want to join you in person to understand this better and how they can help themselves. Tell us about that.
Yes, on November 16th. So this has been something brewing in my toolbox for years and years. And then finally, I'm like, let's do it. It's time. I went and got my yoga certification. I finished my master's degrees. I've got all the certifications that also stand behind all of this. So on November 16th, I'm starting this first workshop in Plattic Hill, New York, at a historic building. And registration will be up on my site, or it is up on my site, actually. So you can go to my site and register for this 2.5-hour introductory experience. You are not going to be sweating. You're not going to be in pain. You're not going to do anything that your body doesn't want you to do, which is the best part of this. Yoga mats and the materials are just so that everybody has a space to place either on the floor, but you could do it in a chair too if you can't get on the floor.
Okay, and what is your website for people who might not be familiar?
Yep, DeborahHanlon.com.
That's easy.
DeborahHanlon. DeborahHanlon.com.
It's going to be awesome. Great.
Yes,
Deb,
thank you for having
so
me
much
on.
For all you do and taking the time to talk with us.
This is brilliant. Thank you so much, Deb.
Oh, yep. Thank you both. Thank you, Frankenberry, for holding down the fort.
Deb, I also wanted to just note, I mean, obviously you've had the recent certification, you got your master's. Now, does this, what was the timeline for when you also got your black belt? You were certified as a sniper.
I got that during my marriage, my first marriage.
Okay. Because you've just been rather busy with them, their certifications. So I just wanted to check.
I love learning.
Okay. Thank you so much, Deb, for joining us again. Much appreciated. And we're not done yet with Happy Hour here this morning. So please come back in just a few here with Jonas Spilbor and Carol Pesci and this fella, because we've got segment number 3 on the way.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour here. Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello. Hello, Frankenberry.
Yeah, you guys are on fire. That's 2 weeks in a row now. You've got it all together. So anyway, Deb Hanlon, having her back again, and she talked about this somatic experience of hers. And I know you two were big fans of such, of getting into the practice.
I find it completely fascinating.
And not only that, I don't know why my head was going to. I feel like this would be a great way to spend a Saturday morning with the girls. Like, go do this. Go have brunch. Like, just keep the feel goods go. Seriously, I just do.
Sorry. My first thought there when you said that was you sitting on the back porch doing yoga with the cats. That's what I was thinking when you said, do this together with the girls on a Saturday morning.
Right. Put a cat on each shoulder.
Yes, exactly.
You know what? Which makes me just think, because the girls plus the guy now, it's kind of like our show, because Frankenberry's our token male. So,
yes.
Right.
Call that new cat Frankenberry.
Oh.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if anybody wants. I don't know if you want to put that on any living being. That's not fair.
Well, Frankenberry's a gangster enough name, you know, for what's going on. I'm sorry, Frankenberry.
No, that's understood. No, hey, look, I'm a pink strawberry flavored cereal character. No, I ain't gangster at all.
No, not a bit.
Now, Count Chocula may be a little gangster. You know, Boo Berry, he may be like, you know, the sidekicky guy.
Definitely.
Yeah, who occasionally might get violent. And then there's Fruit Brute. Now, Fruit Brute, he's gangster.
Not Fruit Brute. Well, because he got Brute in his name.
Yeah. But the least, and the he's a werewolf.
The least gangster among you is Frankenberry.
Exactly. No, I'm fully aware. Believe me, I am not arguing with you.
Yeah. So no, not naming a cat after you. No.
Understood.
God, when was the last time you had blueberry cereal?
Blueberry, I couldn't tell you. But Frankenberry cereal, believe it or not, I actually had Frankenberry cereal last year at this time because it is my time of year again. Because you can find me and most of the family at a Target or in the grocery store in its own special display.
It's my time of year.
Yeah, now, it is.
You made me want to go lacerate the roof of my mouth on some good old-fashioned Cap'n Crunch.
There you go. See?
That's what you want to do.
Yes, Cap'n Crunch was always sharp.
Yes, it was always sharp. But no, I've got a new post that I'll probably finish this weekend that's all about my sister and my nephew and showing them the picture that I took of the display at the Market Bistro here in the Latham area, the stations up here. So, yes, I have a whole new Frankenberry, it's my time of year kind of post.
Awesome.
To get up there in the attic.
You're such a great writer. So please check out Frankenberry's Attic. We love it. We get them a little bit ahead of the public. So we're kind of special that way, but you definitely Frankenberry's Attic. You're awesome. Thanks, kids.
All right. Listen, Deb Hanlon, thank you again for joining us this morning. And for Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci, I am Frankenberry, the guy who you're not going to name any of your cats after, especially cats that are supposed to be gangsta. And hey, happy season. We'll be back again next week and we'll talk to you then. Be good.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.